Good evening and welcome to The Big Fight, the show that is young at 21, the oldest running debate show on Indian news television. I'm Sanket Upadhyay. Political action in West Bengal is heating up once again, but the proportions it is assuming are dangerous to say the very least. There is stone pelting, violence, killing and charges of conspiracy. Almost a reminder of how things were just ahead of Lok Sabha 2019. This time around, it got a little worse because the stone pelting happened on a political functionary of a political party, senior political functionary, the BJP president. So as we approach 2021, are we to expect this to get a lot worse? More violence? See, why is this all happening? The stakes, at least for two political parties, are very high. The ruling Trinamool Congress and the challenger, the Bharatiya Janata Party. Both feel that they have a shot at power. On The Big Fight tonight, we are going to discuss the present state of political affairs and also, with the help of data, analyze and study who has the edge in battleground Bengal. It has really come down to these two personalities, Modi and Mamata Banerjee. Also on the show, a candid interview with the governor of West Bengal, Mr. Jagdeep Dhankar, who battled allegations of being a political governor. He advises Mamata Banerjee to not play with fire. That interview is going to play out in just a short moment. All right, let me introduce our guest this evening, Professor Om Prakash Mishra. He is the spokesperson of the Trinamool Congress, is now with us. Thank you very much, Professor Mishra, for joining us. Smita Prakash, editor of the ANI, is also with us. Thank you very much, Smita Prakash. Jawahar Sarkar, former CEO of Prasar Bharati, is also going to be with us. And Bhaskar Ghosh, leader of the Bharatiya Janata Party, will also be with us. Professor Om Prakash Mishra, we'll begin with you first what we call the first punch. Your opening comments, 1 minute time that we allot to each of the spokespersons. Your 1 minute for your first punch begins now.
Well, West Bengal is one of the most politically stable state of the country, and the performance of the state government is also most commendable and has been appreciated by the various departments of the government as well. Lately, we find that the BJP, which is trying to make inroads, they are trying to destabilize. They have brought in crores of money. They have brought in people with a dubious record. They are trying to undermine the political system here. They are refraining from discussing development. They are trying to use the high office of the governor for partisan ends. And not only that, the BJP is trying to make some political points through means which are less than legitimate. They are actually trying to bring in violence in Bengal, and they are trying to provoke. And this is completely unacceptable to us.
I'm going to come back to you, Mr. Mishra. The 1 minute time is over. Jawahar Sarkar is also now with us. Mr. Sarkar, your opening comment. Can you hear me? Jawahar Sarkar, can you hear me? Hi, good evening. Yeah. Your opening comments on what you feel about this political violence, and also in the run-up to 2021, who has the edge between predominantly these two parties, BJP or the TMC? Mr. Sarkar, your time begins now. 1 minute.
Okay. Now, this is going to be quite a violent sort of a contest. It shows all the signs of it. There is a history of violence in Bengal that starts from 1905, the terrorist movement. And there is a history. But this time it looks like there's a lot of preparation for this sort of, for aggravating the situation, if I may put it. There's a deliberate attempt to aggravate. We feel as common citizens that there is a deliberate attempt in Bengal to introduce violence, to introduce communalism, to introduce all sorts of... I'm not saying that the TMC is very peaceful. TMC has its own issues of show of strength and all that. But then it's being poked, if I may use the term, poked this time with a lot of money, a lot of disinformation, communalization, which is very, very painful. Okay. This is like Kerala, this is not intrinsically a communal state.
Yeah, Mr. Sarkar, the 1 minute time is over. I'm going to come back to you so that you can complete your thought a little later. But Smita Prakash, you go next. Let me just repeat the topic. Political violence, which has become like second nature as far as West Bengal brand of politics is concerned. But who has the edge in this high stakes battle, particularly between two players, BJP and the TMC? Smita Prakash, your time begins now.
First of all, apologies to the people of Bengal who are in the panel as well as among your viewers. But first, I want to say that, you know, I disagree that violence is something new. It's in the nature of Bengal politics, as Mr. Sarkar said. But people of the state obviously don't like to see the dark reality of their state. I mean, just like the people of UP would love to have a discussion or that revolves around Ganga Jamuni Tehzeeb, or Kashmiris would like to talk about Kashmiriyat, which is of religious harmony. But the fact is that communal disharmony is a 20th and 21st century reality of politics in those states. Maybe in Bengal it doesn't have a communal angle, but normalization of violence in Bengal, political violence, is a reality which has been there for over 100 years. The fact is that the regime, a regime change in Bengal, in free India, in Bengal, has always happened with violence. Whether it is Murshidabad, Malda, they are not in Telangana. Yeah. Whether it is Singur or Nandigram, that's not in Rajasthan. I mean, Mamata Banerjee had promised a Parivartan, but the fact is that even though her coming to power in 2011 was through, you know, grassroots level politics, it's going to be anybody's game now.
All right, Smita Prakash, 1 minute time over. Before we go to Mr. Bhaskar Ghosh, who's going to join us in just a short moment, let me now quickly come back to you, Jawahar Sarkar. You know, the point is, why is all of this happening? Because it has become high stakes. And the moment you take a look at numbers, the vote percentage, you get the real picture why every political party, at least these two, who are fighting it out in a big way, are seeing themselves preparing for that moment when they'll be victorious. Let's take a look at the vote percentage. In 2016 assembly polls, the BJP was only 10.2% of the vote share in West Bengal. Trinamool Congress was 44.9%. What happened in Lok Sabha 2019 is what has made this a high stakes battle. BJP became 40.6% of the vote share and the Trinamool Congress was 43.7% vote share. Jawahar Sarkar, we know how the BJP fights elections. We know how they fought the greater Hyderabad municipality election. I mean, the joke was that short of Donald Trump, everyone's campaigning there. Asuddin Oaisi said the same. So I want to know from you, is it necessarily wrong for a political party to increase the stakes when it can see itself winning, so long as it does not turn violent? Or are we to assume violence has just become a byproduct of a political contest in this country?
No. On the specific issue of violence, I would say that there has always been, I have conducted the parliament elections of the state as CEO. Now, I have seen violence and it's an integral part, but it's in scattered bits and pieces that make the headlines. Here we see an issue of sustaining violence, a degree of polarization along community lines that is very, very painful. B, a well-machined, well-oiled, well-paid-for propaganda through the social media that the Trinamool can never match. It's been pumped in. C, there's a class in Bengal, a small class in Bengal, the upper class, that has never been comfortable with either the Marxists or with the Trinamool. It considers the Trinamool leadership to be a little lower than their economic standing. Okay, now this class is rejoicing because after 70 years, they finally think that they will get their political ascendancy. Now this small class, which is Hindu upper middle class, is split, of course. a large component is, as usual in Bengal, completely secular and neutral. A small component has converted this anti-Mamata feeling of theirs, a bit of anti-Muslim pampering issue, into a polarizing drive, into a coordinated attack that is going on. I am not saying for a moment that the Trinamool is a very peaceful party. It's not. It's not. It can also have its own share of dadagiri, if I may put it. But then, as a distant observer, I feel that there's a lot of provocation going on. 2 years ago, a series of riots were, if I may use the term, engineered. Engineered, you know, with the little social media entries and all that. And the footage of violence that was captured, which was one community at the other, was actually portrayed as one community as a victim, the majority being a victim. I mean, all sorts of the dirty tricks department is working overtime.
Okay.
The Trinamool also needs to become more tolerant, more broad-based, taken other components.
Sure.
But then this sort of a thing, it's almost a pre-planned aggression. They just cannot stand regional leaders. I'm not saying that Mamata Banerjee is not autocratic. I personally...
Okay, yeah, you made that point, Mr. Sarkar. I think that's a point well made. Bhaskar Ghosh is also with us, and I'll give Mr. Mishra a right to reply also in just a short moment. But Bhaskar Ghosh, the manner in which this election is being fought, and we were just talking about, I don't know whether this should be taken as a compliment or not, that you would be willing to even send your national president to a municipality election. That's how seriously you take all elections. It's an election winning machine, the Bharatiya Janata Party. But I mean, to what extent will we raise the stakes, the political stakes, so that we don't end up having violent scenes on the ground? I mean, see, for every action, like the incident that took place where the BJP president was attacked, the Trinamool Congress will turn around and give me 1,000 other examples of where the BJP was the perpetrator. Mr. Ghosh.
Now, I just want to open up the discussions with whatever has been mentioned by the Trinamool spokesperson, Professor Om Prakash Misra, that as if the BJP is instrumental of creating all the problems. If that is so, then why it is not happening in Bihar? Why it is not happening in Madhya Pradesh? Why it is not happening in Rajasthan? Why, where we have contested, but we have defeated in Rajasthan, but we have contested, defeated, and won in Madhya Pradesh. In Maharashtra, we are the single largest party. Karnataka, we are the single largest party. Why these incidents BJP is not creating in those states? Can you answer me?
I remember you saying the exact same thing in the run-up to Lok Sabha elections.
BJP is entirely victimized, right from Panchayat election and after Lok Sabha, 115 BJP workers and the Karyakartas.
I think we should get a response to this.
Brutally murdered. Not a single case has been solved till date.
Okay, fine, Mr. Mishra, would you like to respond?
The height of everything is attack.
Definitely.
JP Nadda.
In fact,
Mr. JP Nadda, and that.
In fact,
too,
I would like to correct Mr. Ghosh.
What we see in Afghanistan, what we see in
Iraq,
the same jihadi faction, they have now victimizing our topmost leader, the largest party of India as well as the world. How they can justify this?
Let me get a response now, no? Professor Om Prakash Mishra, why is it if the BJP was this violent, why is this violence not happening in other parts of the country? Why only in West Bengal? I remember this is the same logic they gave for the 2019 Lok Sabha elections.
Well, the place, place where most of you are sitting, that is the place, that is the capital of the country that has witnessed a horrible violence. Only less than a year back. In Delhi, communal riots have been organized. In every part of the country, wherever BJP is politically relevant or is trying to reinvent itself or bring in its presence, they are bringing in violence as well. And so therefore, here BJP is trying to be the victim. They are not. They are the one who are trying to create discord. They are trying to bring in disharmony. And I suppose, you know, you very correctly pointed out the electoral upheavals in Bengal. Yeah. But completely forgot that the BJP's performance here in Bengal is actually very topsy-turvy. They started with 17% in 2014. It came down to 10%. They got 40%, of course. And we accept this is a big, very big number. But you see, this, all this was vote was transferred from the left and the Congress party.
I object.
The by-elections in 5 months' time, the BJP lost very badly. In fact, Dilip Ghosh, please let me complete. Dilip Ghosh, who is a member of parliament, president of the party, his own Vidhan Sabha seat, which he had won by, in that segment, 45,000 votes, lost badly. In other constituencies, they lost. So therefore, BJP is actually not very steady. Their performance is not very steady. They are trying to bring in whole lot of
Nadda ji is very fine.
Nothing has happened to him.
Would you have wanted something to happen to him?
He was in a bulletproof car, otherwise he could have hurt badly.
No. The point is that the way it is being portrayed, that they want to play the victim, nothing of this sort has happened. And in fact, we have given an letter to the Union Home Minister. Seven people have been arrested. The vandalism. We condemn vandalism. We condemn violence. But then he was moving ahead with 50 vehicles, which actually a jet category protection cannot do. In fact, he was in violation of the security protocol for the jet category protectee. He was in violation of that. We are respectful of his rights, but he has to be mindful of his responsibility. So he cannot violate the security protocol. That is simple. Seven people have already been arrested. We condemn vandalism. We condemn violence. And we also condemn any attempt by the central government to try to interfere in what is essentially the jurisdiction of the state government.
Okay. You know, that's obviously when there will be a discussion between BJP and TMC in a high stakes battle, they will take over, they will hijack the discussion. But circling back again to the main topic, Smita Prakash, I want to ask you that given these circumstances, the manner in which this election has been fought, who do you think has the edge? I mean, Jawahar Sarkar has tried to answer this well. He has said that as far as the wherewithal is concerned, that's with the BJP. But he's also saying that let us not assume that the TMC is someone in the woods. They also do the same, right? What is your assessment? You know, because these flashpoints only continue.
True,
I have a whole
true,
list
absolutely.
Of flashpoints between these parties.
Yeah, I agree with Mr. Sarkar that, you know, Mamata Banerjee's rise and takeover of Bengal, it's not come easy, and she will not go away and she will not disappear just because BJP has the wherewithal and they're going to do their best to get rid of her. Now, she defeated the powerful left from ground level agitation, and she controls a large extent the social, the political, and even the civil society. Even though, you know, like Mr. Sarkar said, there is a section of upper caste Hindu vote which may not go towards her and may see BJP as an option because the Congress has withered away. But in spite of that, the fact is that, you know, Mamata is very grassroots level. She knows what the pulse of the nation, pulse of her state is. But she also realizes that her bastion is now under a major threat, and the BJP will not hesitate to use the very same tactics that she used to defeat the left. They're not going to recreate the wheel. They're going to do the same thing. They use the very same tactics. And a third term bid for any chief minister candidate is not easy, as we saw with Nitish Kumar. Nitish managed to stay on in power thanks to the BJP as a coalition partner. But where will Mamata go for that pillar? She has to rely totally on her cadre-based support. It's not going to be an easy battle. And hopefully it will not be a violent battle.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, if you look at the pictures, there are all the signs that this is headed in that direction. A 2019 redux, but hopefully, obviously all of us hope for the best. Professor Mishra, would you like to make your case? Why would you feel that Mamata Banerjee will have the edge in 2021?
Very, very briefly, your channel's analysis regarding the assembly segment wise support for the BJP in the post 2019 Lok Sabha elections, that shows that the average down is 15%. In Bihar also it was 12-13%, in Haryana it was 22% and so on. So even if I assume that the BJP vote share is going to be down by 6-7% as compared to 2019, then the BJP will be left with 30-40 seats at the most. Secondly, you should factor in, and what I am saying is based on the factual situation, after the Lok Sabha election, three high voltage by-elections took place. And the places where the BJP had won, in Kharagpur and in Kaliagaon,
you know, by-elections are not a reflection
of therefore,
how
BJP how is not assembly, in a position to hold on.
By-elections are not a true reflection of how assembly elections are going to be held. But thank you very much.
I agree with you, but at the same time, this is our.
Okay, Bhaskar Ghosh, Jawahar Sarkar, Dilip, Professor Om Prakash Mishra and Smita Prakash, thank you so much. I want to introduce Dilip Ghosh, President of the BJP in West Bengal, is now with us. Dilip Ghosh, first of all, what do you have to say about the manner in which the violence happened and the allegations thereafter? Because the allegation is the state government or state apparatus in West Bengal wants us to believe that this is some conspiracy. Maybe you have done it yourself.
देखिए ये कोई पहली बार हो रही ऐसा नहीं है. ऐसा जानलेवा हमला मेरे ऊपर लगभग 6 बार हुआ है. मेरे गाड़ी को 6 बार तोड़ा गया है. भगवान की कृपा थी कि मेरे ऊपर चोट उतना नहीं आया. कल हमारे 4 नेशनल लीडर को चोट लगा और ईटा अंदर जाकर उनको चोट लगा, गाड़ी को ग्लास तोड़ कर. और हमारे माननीय राष्ट्रीय अध्यक्ष का गाड़ी में मैं भी था, वो बुलेट प्रूफ गाड़ी थी, नहीं तो उन पर जितना बड़ा ईंटा मारा गया था गाड़ी में भी चोट आया, उनको बहुत चोट पहुंचाता था. तो ये जो वायलेंस है ये कोई अलग बात नहीं, ये यहाँ की सरकार की पॉलिसी बन चुकी है बीजेपी को रोकने के लिए. तो इसलिए निंदा करने का करने कोई बात नहीं, सरकार की पॉलिसी है, वो ऐसे ही करेंगे जब तक सत्ता में रहेंगे.
और हमारे ये बताइए हुई है गोइंग फॉरवर्ड दिलीप घोष, आगे चल के हमने 2019 में देखा किस तरीके से लड़ाई हुई, ममता बनर्जी ने आपके ऊपर इतने आरोप लगाए, ईश्वर चंद विद्यासागर का जो स्टैचू है वो तोड़ा गया, आगजनी हुई, पत्थरबाजी हुई, ये सब 2019 में हम लोग देख चुके हैं. वी हैव सीन ऑल ऑफ दिस इन 2019. व्हाट विल द सेंट्रल गवर्नमेंट डू टू इंश्योर दैट एटलीस्ट दिस डज नॉट हैपन अगेन?
नहीं देखिए, हमारी जो लोकतंत्र में जो डेमोक्रेसी में जो व्यवस्था है उसमें एक सेंट्रल गवर्नमेंट डायरेक्ट इंटरफेयर नहीं कर सकता है. आज यहाँ के चीफ सेक्रेटरी और डीजी को बुलाया था सेंट्रल गवर्नमेंट ने, होम
सेंट्रल गवर्नमेंट आई मीन पॉलिटिकल रिप्रेजेंटेटिव्स ऑफ द सेंट्रल गवर्नमेंट, नॉट द सिस्टम. वो तो मुझे भी मालूम है कि लॉ एंड ऑर्डर स्टेट सब्जेक्ट है.
नहीं, हमारे 4 कार्यकर्ता जो कल मार खाए वो सेंट्रल लीडर है, उसमें सेंट्रल हमारे नेशनल प्रेसिडेंट भी हैं, अभी माननीय अमित शाह जी फिर आने वाले हैं और अलग अलग जगह में हमारी मदद करने के लिए, इलेक्शन तैयारी ठीक ठाक हो रही है देखने के लिए अलग अलग ऑब्जर्वर भी आ रहे हैं. और इसी प्रकार से आगे बढ़कर आज हम 4% की पार्टी 40% में आए हैं. हमको विधानसभा में 10% वोट मिला था, लोकसभा में 40% से ऊपर मिला.
और इस आरोप के बारे में आप क्या कहेंगे कि आप यू यूज कॉन्स्टिट्यूशनल ऑफिसेस, आप इस्तेमाल करते हैं महामहिम जो गवर्नर हैं उनका दफ्तर और जो बाकी सब दफ्तर हैं केंद्र में, होम मिनिस्ट्री ने समन किया है चीफ सेक्रेटरी और डीजीपी को, राज्य सरकार का कहना है कि ऐसे कहाँ होता है फेडरल स्ट्रक्चर में?
लेकिन ये भी कहाँ होता है कि कोई नेशनल पार्टी का छोड़ दिया है, किसी मीटिंग में जा रहे हैं आपको रास्ते रोक कर मारा जाए, 130 कार्यकर्ता का पॉलिटिकल मर्डर हुआ है, मेरे ऊपर 40 केसेस है, मैं एक एंटी सोशल हूँ, 28,000 केसेस चल रही है, एक दो नहीं है, ये इनकी पॉलिसी है केस और हिंसा के द्वारा बीजेपी को रोकने के लिए।
ओके, माय फाइनल क्वेश्चन
आ रही है, हम लोकतांत्रिक पद्धति से ही परिवर्तन करेंगे।
ओके दिलीप घोष, माय फाइनल क्वेश्चन, a lot is being said about you trying to impose president's rule in the state of West Bengal. You are saying aap loktantrik tarike se hi karenge, you'll use democratic ways to remove this government. The BJP chief JP Nadda also said that Mamata Banerjee will go lock, stock and barrel, and the people will do this to her. I want to know from you, why do you feel that your party has the edge? Kyun lagta hai aapko ki aap jeetenge Bengal mein?
हम इसीलिए चाह रहे हैं कि ये सरकार की जो जनविरोधी नीतियां हैं, या डेमोक्रेसी का नामो निशान नहीं, लॉ एंड ऑर्डर का नामो निशान नहीं है, जिस प्रकार जाजिती हो रही, जितनी जिस प्रकार की भ्रष्टाचार हो रही, ऐसा कोई क्षेत्र नहीं सरकार की जहां भ्रष्टाचार नहीं है।
okay.
हिंसा चरम पर है, महिलाओं की सुरक्षा नहीं है,
sure.
समाज में कोई सुरक्षा नहीं लोगों की, तो इससे लोग हुए हुए
okay.
हैं, लोग परिवर्तन करेंगे, जैसे लोग उनको लाए तो इसी प्रकार विसर्जन करेंगे।
ठीक है, दिलीप घोष, प्रेसिडेंट ऑफ द बीजेपी इन वेस्ट बंगाल, थैंक यू सो मच फॉर जॉइनिंग अस ऑन द बिग फाइट। वी आर स्टॉपिंग फॉर अ शॉर्ट ब्रेक एट दिस मोमेंट। व्हेन वी कम बैक, अ कैंडिड इंटरव्यू विद द गवर्नर ऑफ वेस्ट बंगाल मिस्टर जगदीप धनकर, हु बैटल्ड एलिगेशंस ऑफ बीइंग अ पॉलिटिकल गवर्नर। ही एडवाइजेस ममता बनर्जी टू नॉट प्ले विद फायर। दैट इंटरव्यू विल प्ले आउट इन जस्ट अ शॉर्ट मोमेंट, एंड वी विल ऑल्सो गेट एन एक्सक्लूसिव कॉन्वर्सेशन विद टीएमसी सीनियर टीएमसी लीडर दिनेश त्रिवेदी। स्टे विद अस। All right, joining us now is the governor of West Bengal, Mr. Jagdeep Dhankar. Thank you very much, Dhankar Saab, for joining us right here on NDTV. My first question to you is, straight up, I'll begin with an allegation. The Trinamool Congress, post your press conference today, says that a governor's office must not be used to launch a tirade against the state government. You, if I heard your press conference right, said that the governor will vindicate his oath. Can a governor such as yourself comment so openly about a chief minister and her state, Mr. Dhankar?
Upadhyay ji, you started on a very wrong note, and I don't think this question should ever be asked. Everyone is required to follow constitutional oath. I am required to defend, preserve and protect Indian constitution. If you will focus on the events in state of West Bengal, you will be shocked and surprised that democracy is in flames. The governance in the state is getting away from constitutional parameters. The bureaucracy is totally politicized. You will find policemen in uniform are frontline political workers. And for last more than a year or so, the Honorable Chief Minister has miserably failed to perform her duties under the Indian Constitution. Under Article 167, the article is specific duties of the Chief Minister towards the Governor. In such kind of a situation, when the state of West Bengal is bleeding, where human rights are in flames, when political activity is being suppressed, oppressed, where you will have to have your rights only if you are born homie with the ruling party. In such kind of a situation, if such an baseless, without premise comment comes from a ruling party, I am sure that should be dismissed at your level.
Okay.
You okay. must pointedly ask them. The governor has raised issues. The governor has raised issues in writing. Has there been any response to those issues? You will be surprised to know, one after the other, issues of corruption, nepotism are being asked by me. Can you countenance by putting yourself in my shoes that a chief minister calls a citizen of this country outsider in West Bengal? What does he mean by this? Indian constitutional preamble says, we the people of India. Anyone who lives in Bharat is a citizen of this country.
No, Dhankar,
but
Dhankar
she freely,
sahab,
recklessly.
Dhankar Saab, the reason why I asked you this question, again, these are not my comments, these are comments from the Trinamool Congress, right? So the TMC basically says that you're not behaving like a constitutional authority, but like a political governor. It's an allegation. And thus, I want to give you the right to respond to these allegations.
You are right, Mr. Upadhyay, but I wish to know, rather than using these words, which is the stance of this governor, which can be called as political. All my limitations are governed by the constitution. I make no bones about it. I am not a post office. I am not a rubber stamp governor. I have to vindicate my oath under the constitution. I cannot fiddle in Raj Bhavan when political vendetta, political killings, political violence has gone to that level. Sir, you spare some time to be in the state of West Bengal and you will find the state of affairs here is very, very alarming. The democratic values have nosedived and you will be surprised to know how far have we gone beyond constitutional working. Can you imagine a situation that anything can be sold to the people without accountability, without transparency? They held several conclaves, Bengal Global Business Summit, indicated on the floor of assembly that more than 12 lakh crore investment has come. The governor is asking a simple question. Where is that investment? In which part of Bengal it is there? No answers are coming forth. There was pandemic purchase, 2,000 crore scam. The chief minister herself ordered a probe. But what did she do? Those who should have been investigated were made investigators. The governor is asking only one question. Where is the report? Why don't you make that report public? Sir, with respect to Amphan relief, High Court of the State has directed CAG inquiry. All I can say is, some people may accuse me of not reacting the way I should. I am indicating only tip of the iceberg.
Sure.
But I cannot fail the people of state of West Bengal that they will not have fair polls.
Okay.
I have warned the bureaucracy time and again. Public servant will not be allowed to be political worker. Does anyone disagree with that? Public servant will have to be political neutral. Sir, do you disagree with that? But the chief secretary and the DGP are not in a position to issue such a circular. Sir, they are in chains. As a citizen of this country, as a person who has taken oath under Article 150 of the Constitution, I will never hesitate to vindicate and discharge my obligations.
Okay, so you're saying that you're not going to be...
The chief minister did.
You're not going to sit pretty in a Raj Bhavan. You're going to raise these questions. I agree with what you're saying, Dhankar Saab, but... You know, my next question is, again, pertaining to your press conference where you said that Mamata Banerjee must realize that she's playing with fire. Can you explain, Mr. Dhankar, the context in which you said playing with fire? How is she playing with fire? Because this came in the backdrop of an attack on Mr. Nadda. So is that playing with fire?
No. Number of events have taken place. And anyone who disrespects Indian constitution, anyone who goes away from rule of law, is playing with fire, I have no doubt about it. And I have pointedly asked why bureaucracy in state of West Bengal is a political stakeholder. How can we permit public servants to be political workers? How can we have non-transparent, non-accountable fiscal consequences? Sir, the state has to be run in accordance with law. West Bengal is not a state within a state. It is not Mamataji's fiefdom. It has to be run as per Indian constitution. Mamataji cannot be loaned to herself. It is my duty as a governor to lend her support. But at the same time, the rampant corruption, favoritism, nepotism, and I have written to her, I am not speaking on public media only, issues raised by me years ago have not been responded by her. Am I not entitled to ask that a former DGP is sitting as state security advisor since mid of 2018, what are his duties? Unable to tell me. If a senior police officer, Mr. Gyanwant, has been held by the High Court as violator of human rights.
Then in that context, will you then agree that all governors in Raj Bhavans across the country, irrespective of state governments or the political inclination of the state governments, must discharge their duties similarly with the same alacrity as Mr. Dhankar is doing? because there are many states ruled by the BJP where there are similar allegations that the state administration is you know, hand in gloves with the political establishment. Is this your advice to all governors, even of BJP ruled states?
Upadhyay ji, I don't see a state being BJP ruled or non-BJP ruled. I am committed to Indian constitution which recognizes only states. I don't give advice. Advice to me is very, very categorical. I have taken oath under Article 159. My oath is loud and clear. I have to defend, preserve and protect Indian constitution. And I am sure as a sensible senior journalist you will agree. One must live up to one's oath.
Sure.
And that is what I am telling Mamta ji also. Mamta ji, while I have to defend, protect and preserve Indian constitution, she has to act in accordance with Indian constitution. If I find Mamta ji is not acting in accordance with Indian constitution, and that is what she is not acting in number of cases.
Okay.
And one thing which she finds very easy is to be non-responsive.
Okay.
How can a chief minister be non-responsive to the governor when constitution requires?
Sure.
She has to respond.
Sure.
Dhankar sir, we cannot fail.
Yeah, Dhankar sir, my next question for you is on the report that you have submitted to the center on the events yesterday, and I'm sure in the past also you must have submitted reports. What's your assessment of the law and order situation in West Bengal, if I were to ask you? I'm not asking for the contents of the report. I'm aware that this is confidential.
I quite appreciate it.
Yeah, but what's your assessment?
No, Sanket ji, I'm beholden to you for giving me that leverage. The content of the report is not to be shared. Customarily, every governor sends a monthly report to the president. Am I clear, Sanket ji?
Correct, correct.
Every governor sends a monthly report to the... But if there are events that require a special report to be sent, I regarded yesterday's earlier events on earlier occasions where I have sent special reports. I tried to be as objective as any human being can be in putting my perspective for consideration of the authority concerned.
And my
underlying principle is still...
And if I were to ask you, Mr. Dhankar, do you think that your assessment on a special condition because of which you sent a special report or an out-of-turn report could hint towards the imposition of president's rule in West Bengal?
I know. I will follow your first suggestion that I need not indicate this in public domain. And I value and respect your suggestion which you made a while ago.
No, but Dhankar sir, based on what you are telling me on the sort of condition there is, do you think that these are grounds fit enough for the imposition of president's rule? I'm asking you this because this is a fear. The state dispensation fears that it's leading towards that.
No, I'll tell you, Sanket ji. Please come to state of West Bengal. You will look into my eyes and tell me, Governor Dhankar, on my television, you understated your case. The situation is far more grim. Far more alarming. The violations of democratic norms could not have been imagined to that extent. You will conclude that. What I am indicating is, I am understating the problem which is here, let me tell you.
Okay.
Because I want things to be on track. I want 2021 elections to change the paradigm in the state of West Bengal. We want to give an image to the entire country that we can have peaceful elections. Elections that are not rigged, elections that are fair, and I am working in that direction. My effort will be to seek all the support of the state government also. I am a man who believes in dialogue, deliberation, consensual approach. I never take to confrontational path. This every day, if a ruling party wants to have a serial against the governor, let me tell you, that doesn't impact me. I have highest regard for the chief minister, but I will alert her. I have alerted her a number of times. She cannot afford to transgress constitutional provisions. And that is happening under her very nose, even with respect to rampant corruption, including in public distribution systems.
Dhankar ji,
as also in M1 relief.
Dhankar ji, I mean, based on the reply that you gave just now, we saw that in the build-up to 2019 Lok Sabha elections, there was violence of an unprecedented kind in the state of West Bengal. I'm asking you this question. Can you spell it out? Do you feel that the situation is pretty similar in the build-up to 2021 Vidhan Sabha elections as well? And that's what you're hinting at?
There is enough time, Upadhyay ji, and I'm working in a direction so that we create an atmosphere where elections take place peacefully, without violence. And I'm sure people are listening to it. The greatest encouragement to me is an ordinary voter. The ordinary voter for the first time is rising up. The ordinary voter wants rule of law. The ordinary voter wants fundamental rights and human rights restored. The ordinary voter does not want that you must be falsely implicated in cases. The ordinary voter does not want that you can have political activity only by being with the ruling party. And I am sure the big change is coming. As governor, I am not concerned with the political change. As governor, I am not a stakeholder in politics, but I am a stakeholder in the governance. I want governance to be in accordance with the constitution. Thereafter, it is not my concern, Upadhyay ji, who comes to power, who doesn't come to power. For example, it is political party's prerogative to have any consultant. But if that consultant enters into the corridors of power, the establishment is in support of it, the bureaucracy is dancing to their tune, then these unauthorized intruders in corridors of power, the governor will obviously come into play and say they must be sanitized.
Sanitized.
So my issue is not whom you engage as a consultant. Yes, the power corridors have to be sanitized of intruders. And at the same time, you will agree with me and you will immediately agree. Born homie with the ruling party cannot be passport to your rights. You cannot have a system of rule of law that you will have your fundamental rights, Mr. Upadhyay. You will enjoy your human rights. You will enjoy your dignity.
Only if I am politically
aligned.
Only if
you are with the ruling party.
Okay. I get the point that you are making.
Yes, if that happens, end of it.
Yeah, Mr. Dhankar, my final question to a response on the Home Ministry summoning the state DGP and the Chief Secretary. The state government says that this is unprecedented and perhaps the centre as well as its functionaries have forgotten that law and order is a state subject. How do you respond to this?
I'm not aware of the development.
No, the fact that the state DGP and the Chief Secretary of West Bengal have been summoned on the 14th of December by the Home Ministry.
I'm not aware, Upadhyay ji, on this.
Sure. Okay. My final question, Dhankar Saab, would you invite Mamata Banerjee over to Raj Bhavan for a cup of tea to discuss all of this?
Sir, I would do it immediately. I have done it repeatedly. My request is pending with her. My request in writing is pending with her. You will be surprised to know that even 2 days back, in writing I have written to Mamata ji that Mamata ji, so many issues await for our meeting which is long overdue. I have expressed my hope it takes place. So I am so glad you have asked this question. Even before the painful incident yesterday, my communication has gone to Mamata ji about it. I only hope you are in a position to ask Mamata ji to look to my invite request. And I would not mind going to Mamata ji's place for interaction. As governor, it is my duty to work in togetherness. We both have to work for welfare of the people of the state of West Bengal. And I am ready to take extra steps.
All right. The governor of West Bengal, Mr. Jagdeep Dhankar, thank you so much for joining us right here on NDT. Joining us now is senior TMC leader, Mr. Dinesh Trivedi. Mr. Trivedi, thank you so much for joining us right here on NDTV. I want to know your position on the goings-on in West Bengal. You've got political functionaries of the BJP who are saying that the situation that took place yesterday is alarming. The fact that a convoy has been attacked of the BJP president, no less. Will you, at the very beginning, at least join in condemning what happened before anything else?
I have no hesitation in... Sanket, I belong to an old school of public life and politics, if you may. And I have no hesitation in condemning any kind of violence. whether inside the parliament or outside the parliament. Even any kind of hangama inside of the parliament, I've never ever supported that, be it any party. Outside the parliament as well, violence has no place, leave aside in public life, nowhere in a civil society. So I don't think so. There is any hesitation on anybody's part, any kind of violence. And I certainly have no hesitation in condemning these kind of attacks, be it on political functionary or ordinary citizens. So I don't think so.
No, but Mr. Trivedi, I ask you this question.
Any problem in doing that?
I ask you this question because yesterday, in a response, senior functionaries of the West Bengal government, including the chief minister, seemed to suggest that there is some sort of a conspiracy. She even used the word notanki.
See, you have asked me whether I condemn. I said I condemn. As far as the Honorable Chief Minister is concerned, she is in the administration. She has obviously all the details and I have none. So I think there are two different subjects we are talking about. Violence, condemnable at any cost, whoever has done it. The problem today, Sanket, is a complete criminalization of politics all over. I'm not talking about any particular party or state. We have Vohra Committee report. And that's not on. I think collectively we'll have to do something. There is so much of negativity. There is so much of zeher. There is so much of poison. How do we deal with it? Elections will come and go.
Mr. Trivedi, how would you respond to the state DGP and the chief secretary now being summoned by the Home Ministry on the 14th of December? Your state government says that the center, it seems, has forgotten that law and order is a state subject. They also call it unprecedented.
Sanket, I think both the authorities are competent to deal with whatever is the provision of the constitution, whether it is the state of Bengal or it is the federal government. Both of them have the same IS officers, bureaucrats, who are trained in the same academy in Dehradun. And I think the cause is common, it's for the country. So I don't think so I need to comment, because ultimately everything happens under the provision of the constitution. So if the constitution provides that, then so be it. If the constitution doesn't provide, then it won't happen. So I think there is no confusion. We should make a very big deal out of it.
Two quick questions, Mr. Trivedi. The governor has today sent a report to the center, to the president, to be precise. And he has also held a press conference earlier in the morning where he says Mamata Banerjee should realize that she's playing with fire. I want your response to these comments by the governor.
Sanket, honorable governor of any state, they hold their position as per the constitution, as I do as a member of parliament. And I don't think so it's going to be befitting on my part to reply to whatever the Honorable Governor has said.
Okay, my final question, Mr. Trivedi. A lot is being commented both at the center by way of the Governor. A lot of comments have been made about the situation of the law and order in the state of West Bengal. Do you think that a ground is being prepared for imposition of President's rule? I mean, just your political wisdom. What do you think?
No, I... everything happens, you know, people of this country are most intelligent people. And they understand politics, they also understand constitution. And I really don't think so people will go beyond a particular limit. In elections, a lot of things happen. But at the end of the day, the provisions are there, you know. And I have a lot of faith in it. We all swear by it. So election politics, public meetings, whatever you talk there is one thing. Not that I'm trying to say that it should not be serious. that thing also needs to be ratified. You can't be non-serious there. But I don't think so. Anybody would go beyond the limits of the Constitution.